Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course live streaming audio at ktym.com.
Žygioja kareiviai, vorą paskui vorą, ginti brangią žemę, šalį Lietuvos, salytę, pulkas paukštę, riumą gindami orą, čiulba ir skraido viršum jų galvos, salytę, pulkas paukštę,
Well, thanks again for tuning into Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. I thought it was appropriate that we opened up with a little excerpt of a classic army military march tune, military march today, because with things heating up the way they are in the Ukraine, you know, we have a lot to share with you. About the fact that the Baltics could be next. Not tomorrow, not next week, but there's certainly a lot of tension in the air. Speaking of air, we'll tell you about the weather in Lithuania. It's actually very, very pretty. 67 degrees today. Tomorrow, 63. And then midweek, we'll get up to the low 70s, 71, 72 on Wednesday. And then dropping back down to the high 50s next weekend, Saturday, May 3rd and 4th, in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. You know, the big event locally is happening next week. That's next Saturday evening at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, and that's the Baltic American Freedom League's annual awards banquet, Saturday, May 3rd. At 6:30 at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Now, this event rotates between the Latvian Community Center and St. Casimir's, but generally it's 3 or 4 years at the Latvian Community Center and then 1 year at St. Casimir's. So it's important that we support this. But more importantly, you know, considering what's happening in the Baltics, the tension in the air and what is really happening, unfortunately, in the Ukraine with 40,000 plus troops, some say as high as 60,000, but 40,000 has been confirmed Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. Now, the latest reports that we have is that the troops haven't moved in yet, but they are less than a kilometer away from the border. Okay, that's about 600 yards. 40,000 Russian troops on the border of Ukraine, in about a half a mile from Ukraine. This is scary stuff, ladies and gentlemen, scary stuff, and we'll be covering more of it. Remember last week we shared with you an article from the Wall Street Journal and a also some interview with Mr. Ilves, Estonian president, and you know, the big quote in the story is, as many officials at NATO's Brussels headquarters admit, the Russian military could today roll over Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania in hours. Actually, that was one of the arguments that the NATO had against allowing the Baltics to join NATO. Thank God, ultimately, they did. And Mr. Ilves, in that article, also said that NATO members have assured him of, at the highest levels, that what's known as Article 5, that they would regard an attack on Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia as an attack on all. He's been assured at the highest levels that it isn't in danger of being ignored or watered down. So, again, we'll talk more about that later. But, you know, back to the banquet next week, we've got Congressman Ed Royce, okay, he represents the 39th District, Orange County, and some other areas, but he will be speaking, and he is chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, and will speak on The basic topic is Crimea today. Who is next? So this is a very important event. It's in English. Everything's in English, so you'll have no trouble understanding it if your Lithuanian's kind of weak. And we need you there to help show support for the Baltic American Freedom League and to show the Congressman Ed Royce that we all care. So once again, that's next week, the Baltic American Freedom League's annual awards banquet at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. You can make reservations by calling Marita at 818-321-1811. That's 818-321-1811. Or call my office this weekend and leave a message on the answering machine. That's 310-453-1735. 310-453-1735. You'll get my voice. It's an insurance office. That's my day job. And leave a message there, and we'll get you a seat at this very important event next Saturday at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. 310-453-1735. And we'll call you back and confirm it. Anyway, we have a lot to cover, so we're going to get right to it. There's a Russian military, political analyst, Stanislav Belkovsky. He was interviewed on Radio Freedom. And as a matter of fact, this guy in protest said that he was going to move to the Ukraine and become a Ukrainian citizen, this Russian political analyst. But anyway, he says, after expanding his authority in Ukrainian territory, Russian President Vladimir Putin will turn his attention to Latvia, according to political analyst Stanislav Belkovsky. I believe that after Ukraine, he will try to achieve that pro-Russia forces come to power in Latvia, because he needs to gain control of the Baltics. He can't do that in Estonia and Lithuania, but he can in Latvia. I think that in the territory of the NATO countries, Putin will act differently than he did in Ukraine, but nevertheless, he wants to control Latvia. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to this program over the years, you know that Latvia has a very substantial Russian minority. As a matter of fact, that Russian minority is more than 40% of the population. So with Putin's excuses all the time to help ethnic Russians out and claim that they are discriminated against, Latvia is sort of a natural place for him to focus on later after he's done with Ukraine. Of course, we're fortunate in Lithuania to have something like only 8 or 9% of the population, and perhaps even less, that is a Russian minority. So that's why Belkovsky says that he can't do it in Lithuania, but he can certainly try to do it in Latvia. Now, meanwhile, CNN reports Ukraine says Russia aims to occupy its country militarily and politically. U.S. President Barack Obama threatened Russia yesterday with new sanctions over its actions in Ukraine, as the Ukrainian prime minister also came out with tough words against Moscow. Russian attempts to start conflicts in Ukraine will lead to military conflict in Europe, Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk warned. He also charged Russia with aiming to occupy his country militarily and politically, and said Moscow would like to start a third world war. His strong statement came amid sharp escalation in tensions. Russia's defense chief ordered new military drills near the border with eastern Ukraine after Ukrainian forces said they killed, after Ukrainian forces said they killed five pro-Russian militants in an operation to clear roadblocks near the city of Slavyansk. Sergei Pashinsky, chief of staff to acting Ukrainian President Oleksandr Turchinov, and I apologize for my pronunciations, said Friday that the operation has now entered a second stage aimed at encircling Slavyansk and cutting off additional supplies of support. Yatsenyuk said he'd asked Russia to explain the presence of its troops on Ukraine's border within 48 hours, but Kiev is still waiting for an official response. At the same time, he said, the world is lined up with Kiev in its efforts to restore stability and preserve the system, quote, of world security that Russia wants to destroy. On Friday, that's yesterday, Ukraine's Interior Ministry reported that 13 people on board a bus, including foreign observers and military officials, were detained at the entrance of Slavyansk. The ministry said the captors were unknown, but that the detainees were taken to a security office that is under control of pro-Russian separatists. The detainees are 7 European representatives from the Organization for Security and Cooperation, 5 Ukrainian military representatives, and the bus driver. Negotiations were ongoing to secure their release. Meanwhile, top U.S. officials have vowed more punitive international actions targeting Russia's economy if Moscow, in their view, continues to escalate the situation. In a phone call yesterday, Obama and European leaders agreed that Russia has failed to do its part to de-escalate tensions, according to the White House. The Russians have not supported a deal reached last week to decrease tensions, nor have they called on militant groups to put down their weapons, the White House said. To the contrary, Russia has made things worse through its rhetoric and military exercises, it added. At a news conference Friday in South Korea, Obama said there will be targeted sanctions that are ready to go. It is important for us not to anticipate that the targeted sanctions that we are applying now necessarily solve the problem, the president said. What we've been trying to do is continually raise the cost to Russia for their actions while still leaving the possibility of them moving in a different direction. And we will continue to keep some arrows in our quiver in the event that we see a further deterioration of the situation over the next several days or weeks. Obama also praised the unity of other countries in condemning Russian meddling in the Ukraine. According to senior U.S. officials, the additional sanctions would come as early as today. In their sights, key Putin allies, high-profile Russian oligarchs, and possibly Russian institutions and companies, U.S. officials told CNN. The new sanctions will be an escalation, one official said. Now, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry called Russia's actions in Ukraine a full-throated effort to actively sabotage the democratic process through gross external intimidation. If Russia continues in this direction, he added, it will not just be a grave mistake, it will be expensive. Russia also ramped up its rhetoric this week. President Vladimir Putin told Russian state media that, quote, if the Kiev regime has started to use the army against the population inside the country, it, beyond any doubt, is a serious crime. This, he said, would have consequences for Ukraine's interim leaders and for relations between the two countries. Moscow argues that the government in Kiev, which took power after ousted pro-Moscow President Viktor Yanukovych fled Ukraine in February, is illegitimate. On Friday, the International Criminal Court said Chief Prosecutor Fatawa Bensouada had opened a preliminary investigation into alleged crimes committed in Ukraine while Yanukovych was in power. The investigation will look at the period from November to February when street protests against Yanukovych's government took place that resulted in bloody clashes with security forces, which is where this whole mess began. Only a week has passed since foreign ministers for Ukraine, Russia, the United States, and the EU agreed to a deal in Geneva, Switzerland, aimed at easing the crisis, but that pact, which called for all sides to refrain from violence and for illegal militia groups to disarm and leave occupied buildings, appears to have faltered, if not failed. Pro-Russian militants remain holed up in government buildings in around a dozen cities in the eastern part of Ukraine. And efforts by the Ukrainian Security Service to dislodge them risk provoking more violence or perhaps direct Russian intervention. Although Ukraine's interior ministry said five pro-Russian militants died in the operation Thursday near Slavyansk, separatists who spoke to CNN at one of the targeted roadblocks said only one person had died. Slavyansk has been at the center of much of the tension seen so far. Now, Pashinsky, the Ukrainian president's aide, said yesterday that these militants, okay, these pro-Russian militants, were equipped with new Russian weapons and that their intelligence indicated that they had set up bases in civilian sites, including a kindergarten and a hospital. The evidence suggests, he added, that terrorist actions in the East are directly managed by Russian special agents, that there are acting Russian troops in Slavyansk, and that the so-called separatist groups are being coordinated directly by Russia. Nearby in Kramatorsk, Russia's state-run news agency reported gunfire at an airfield that Ukrainian forces retook from separatist protesters this month. But the head of Ukraine's anti-terror operations unit, Mr. Krutow, told CNN that a helicopter at the airfield had exploded after a shot hit its fuel tank. He said the crew's commander was injured as a result. This goes on and on and on, and I'm just going to share some other stories with you. Now, meanwhile, Russia has increased interest rates for a second month yesterday in an effort to limit the economic damage of rising tensions over the Ukraine crisis. The move came hours after ratings agency Standard & Poor's cut Russia's credit rating to just one notch above junk, citing a flight of capital from the country. The Russian ruble lost more ground Friday, taking its losses against the dollar to 8.5% since the beginning of the year. Russia's benchmark stock index also slipped by almost a percentage point, extending its decline so far this year to 14.5%. Any further sanctions could hurt the EU as well as Russia, since the two have a deep trade ties and nearly a third of Europe's natural gas comes from Moscow. Putin condemned the Ukrainian government's, quote, attempts to use the army against civilians in a phone call Friday with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the Kremlin said. The two leaders noted the importance of holding talks soon between Russia, the EU, and Ukraine on the security of gas supplies as soon as possible. Now, the Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, again, we mentioned this a minute ago, said that Moscow is trying to start World War III. You know, listen to some of the strong rhetoric here. Russia is behaving like an armed gangster, but the time will come when the gangster will be hit in the face, he said at a government meeting. The aggressive efforts of the Russian military on Ukraine soil will lead to a conflict on European soil. The world has not yet forgotten World War II, and Russia already wants to start World War III, he said. So, this talk is getting ugly. It really, really is getting ugly. Now, meanwhile, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, accused the West of plotting to control Ukraine to bolster its own interests in the region. Quote, the West wants, and this is how it all began, to seize control of Ukraine because of their own political ambitions, not in the interests of the Ukrainian people. In another story, seven people were injured yesterday when a hand grenade was tossed at a checkpoint manned by pro-Ukrainian activists outside the Black Sea port of Odessa in southeastern Ukraine. So there's all kinds of little skirmishes going on. Now, specifically to Lithuania, U.S. troops arrived today to bolster support for Lithuania. The United States troops have been dispatched in response to Russian aggression in Ukraine. The welcoming ceremony at the Lithuanian Air Force Aviation Base in Šiauliai was attended by President Dalia Grybauskaitė, the defense minister, the U.S. ambassador, and the chief of defense and the deputy commander of U.S. land forces in Europe. A total of 150 troops came to Lithuania from their permanent deployment site in Italy, and it's planned that they will stay in Lithuania until the end of the year. The United States has also decided to send a similar number of troops to Poland, Latvia, and Estonia. The troops of the U.S. Land Force Europe Air Assault Brigade No. 173 will be deployed in Rukla and will be involved in the Lithuanian Land Force training that is starting across Lithuania in May. Okay, so in a couple of weeks, there's going to be all kinds of training and maneuvers. The U.S. soldiers will also attend the Black Arrow War Games in May and will join the joint U.S.-Baltic exercise Saber Strike in June. 8 British and Polish fighter jets should arrive in Lithuania next week to replace the U.S. aviators who are wrapping up their air policing mission. Another 4 Danish fighters will guard the Baltic skies from Estonia, with additional jets to be dispatched by France to Poland. Now, in response to Lithuania's extreme interest in mobilization and what's going to happen should Russia make a move, or the feeling that they might, Lithuania's defense ministry has provided information on how it might be carried out. According to press releases, general mobilization would mean that all members of the mobilization reserve, aged between 18 and 55, male and female, have to report to their territorial mobilization and assembly division. After health examination, the individuals fit to defend their home country would be sent to update their military skills. If NATO allies arrive to defend Lithuania, airports, roads, and railway lines would have to be prepared to accept the influx of forces. Marius Jatautas, director of the ministry's mobilization department, said the legal base of our country has until now been organized to facilitate mobilization in case of only a natural disaster. The threats caused by the developments in Ukraine have forced us to change the legal base and link it with a different context, a war context, said Jatautas. So, again, everything is escalating. And in the end, this won't be a surprise. We've been seeing it coming for months now after the street protests in Ukraine turned bloody. If I've said it once on this program, I've said it 100 times. Lithuania's independence is the exception, not the rule. We've spoken many times about the immigration problem, the problem of young people fleeing for jobs and for security to places like Ireland and England and, of course, here in the United States, but mostly to places closer in the European Union. And, you know, unfortunately, tens of thousands of able-bodied young men who could help defend their homeland are not even in the country. It is tragic. It really is. Meanwhile, there are all sorts of stories coming out on Putin's motivations. And in another opinion piece by John Freivalds, who was born in Latvia, he says it's all about the language, that 300 million people spoke Russian in 1990, but it's projected that only 150 million will in 2025, that's in like 10 years, and only 100 million in 2035. The figures indicate that the number of Russian speakers in the world show that in a mere 45 years their numbers will have declined by a third. It is this huge decline, plus action by the Ukrainian parliament, that was the catalyst, if not one of the large causes, huge causes, of Russian President Vladimir Putin invading Crimea. Just a little background, that after the pro-Moscow president fled, deposed, but he fled the country, The Ukrainian parliament no longer recognized Russian as an official language, and up till then it had been one of several official languages. Okay, so this gentleman, we don't have time to share the whole thing with you, but the article goes on to say that the developments in the Ukraine are symptomatic of the decline of the Russian language. The decline is being debated at the highest levels of the Russian government. According to Moscow News, Benjamin Kagarov, Deputy Minister of Education and Science, said in December that Russian would totally disappear beyond Russia's borders within 50 years under competition from more aggressively mobile tongues such as English. And the Modern Language Association in the United States says that Russian and Latin are vying to be the least major languages studied in college. Spanish, French, and German are at the top. The Russian government allocated $50 million to set up language centers around the world. He goes on to say that Putin is frightened by what he sees happening to the Russian language, and this is one of the things that motivates him. According to Russian Moscow news sources, by 2025, Russian will be spoken by as many people as in the beginning of the 20th century. According to forecasts, within 10 years, Russian will be overtaken by French, Hindi, Arabic, and within 15 years by Portuguese. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about it, they have a Cyrillic alphabet, which no one else in the world uses, right? Okay. Russians are fleeing Russia, too. Anybody with any money or the wherewithal is getting out. It's not just Lithuania that has an emigration problem. So you can see where this can be something that a Russian nationalist, such as President Putin, is, by all means, can be bothered by this decline in the speaking of Russian. You know, just think about it. In Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Russian was the chief official language. Everybody knew it. Now, the kids growing up in Lithuania don't know anything in Russian except hello, goodbye, good morning, thank you. That's about it. Compare that with just a generation ago that everyone spoke Russian. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting side note, that there's a paranoia of the fact of the decline of the Russian language, and that officially Moscow is setting up language centers to promote Russian throughout the world. Finally, on another Lithuania story that you should know about, you know, Neringa, you know that little strip, the Curonian Spit, where all the sand dunes are. Neringa, beautiful resort area. It's on fire. The latest we have is that there's something like 100 acres. A state of emergency has been declared in the western Neringa municipality on the Curonian Spit due to the spreading fire. The Minister of the Interior, Dailis Alfonsas Barakauskas, told news services that the fire had engulfed almost 100 acres. 12 firefighters' vehicles are involved in the fire extinguishing operation, assisted by a Mi-8 helicopter of the armed forces. According to the minister, Latvia has been asked to send another helicopter to help. Due to the fire, power supplies have been shut down on the whole peninsula. And finally, in the seconds remaining, on a lighter note, Vilnius will have the first cat cafe in Northern Europe. In other words, you can go in and play with the cats who will live in the cafe and have your latte. This is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next week at the Baltic American Freedom League Awards Banquet at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Bye-bye, and thanks for listening. Ой, соколели, город с краю.